Welcome to the Last Set podcast, where we talk all things fighting, health, fitness, everything. So let's start us off with Ryan Garcia versus Luke Campbell. What do you think?
Okay, I already say that 2021's off to a strong start.
2021, yeah.
Yeah,
really strong start.
I remember when you posted yesterday on our Last Set Instagram page when it says that 2021 sounds like 2021.
As in it won the war.
Yeah. Now, someone actually just pointed something out to me yesterday. If that was the case, what will 2022 be like?
Yeah.
So it'd be 2022.
You don't want to think about things like this. I don't want to
think about that. But already that's got people paranoid.
I know. It's got me paranoid already.
Yeah. No, anyway, back to the fighting. Ryan Garcia, that kid, the future is bright for that young man because he's a phenomenal boxer, and he was going to be over for him in the second round when he got knocked down. Now, I don't remember the last time Ryan Garcia even got knocked down, do you?
No, I believe that's the first time.
First time. So like they say, first time for everything. So everyone thought that because Luke Campbell's a much more experienced boxer.
He's much older. However, he's had a lot more amateur experience. You know, he's gone to the Summer Olympics. I believe it was Summer Olympics in London. However, when they fought each other today, they both had 20 wins. So they had the same amount, around the same amount of fights. However, Luke Campbell had a much more extensive experience with harder fighters, though. You know, one of his last fights was against Lomachenko. So he's fought some of the best out there. You know, he's been a title contender twice already. So great win for Ryan Garcia. He took him down with a liver shot in the seventh round. I believe it was at the 158 mark. He did so well. But very impressive because a lot of people were counting out Campbell. A lot of people were counting out Ryan Garcia due to Campbell's experience. He's a bit older, 33 years old, so he should be around his prime, whereas Ryan Garcia is still learning the game at 22. I thought he did very, very well, and I think Garcia's got a bright future, just like Canelo said. Canelo, right after the fight, said, "Ryan, you've got a really great future ahead of you." Yeah, it's really cool to see that boxing still has some stars.
Yeah, yeah. I remember, seeing a thing yesterday on one of those MMA media, and there was a topic of why is it that boxing is starting to, you know, really, they feel like boxing's starting to really go down, which I thought was a legit question. And a lot of people were saying it's because there's just too many titles. There's too many titles and not enough stars.
Too many greedy promoters that won't get these world champions to fight each other.
Exactly.
It's too difficult to have, you know, five belts and then have to unify them all to be the disputed champion. A lot of the time when you win a belt, you kind of don't want to lose it.
Yeah.
Because the amount of money that comes with that belt, you don't want to go back to making peanuts if you lose that. So it gets difficult when you also have to fight for, you know, you don't really want to fight for another belt to be, you know, a two-belt champion, three-belt champion, four. And then you become a unified champion. Yes, you would make more money, but it's a heavily risky game. It's the ones that do that are the ones that are out there for legacy.
Yeah.
You know, the Tyson Fury, the Anthony Joshuas and things like that. And you could definitely say Canelo. You know, Canelo's been moving to different weight classes. Typically, he'd be quite small for some of the weight classes, yet he's had some great performances. You know, his last one was against, I believe, Callum Smith.
Yeah.
So it's good when they're starting to do that. Now, Ryan Garcia, he had a lot of fame on Instagram. I think he's got something close to 8 million followers, which is crazy, right? So it's good that it's bringing a lot more attention to boxing. And Ryan Garcia is only 22 years old. They're most likely going to set him up possibly against Gervonta Davis. Gervonta Davis is a fucking really, really good fighter.
Yeah, he's
and
like
scary bloke.
Everyone wants him to be. Well, Floyd Mayweather wants him to be the next big thing. You know what I mean? Because he trains under Floyd Mayweather's camp. You know, he's trained by one of the best defensive boxers in the world. Mm. So, and then you got, but not even that. But both of them are just so incredibly fast.
Yeah, the speed on all of them. Yeah,
I can. if I can see a fight like that, it's like you got to hold your eyes open so you don't blink. Otherwise, you're going to miss like a 10 punches or something like that. So I can see it happening potentially. But when it comes to boxing, it's just so hard to fabricate big names to fight each other.
Yeah, there's too many belts with so many weight classes. You know what I mean? Like, if we bring it over to the UFC, you know, everything is separated by around 10 to 15 pounds. Once you start to get hit middleweight, lightweight, a light heavyweight, and then heavyweight, then the discrepancies start to get a little bit larger, which gives a lot of room for people to move to different divisions. But in boxing, a lot of them aren't separated by much at all. No. Some of them can be as little as 5 pounds, four pounds. You know, it's not common in other combat sports to have a 168-pound belt. It's a 170 or a 185. When you have 170, 175, 180, 185, it gets really difficult. It means you can collect a lot of belts. Yeah. You can be, you know, an 8-time world champion or something like that, whereas that doesn't happen in other sporting organizations.
Imagine if we did that in the UFC. Imagine if there was that many belts up for grabs.
It's too wide a view for you to look around at all these people. And you have to remember, whereas if you've got, I think, how many would be in the UFC? Maybe 8 or 9 weight classes?
Yeah, roughly.
It's around 8 or 9 weight classes for men. The women one's much easier to remember. But the 8 or 9 weight classes in the men's division, very easy to remember. Easy to remember who's in what division. Whereas, you know, it's so difficult to remember all the different belts and all the different promotions that come with them. Mm-hmm. I think it's greedy. But the boxing organizations can be a bit greedy.
Yeah.
Not that the UFC is not. UFC is very greedy too.
Well, it begs the idea, who's the real champ of that division then? Let's say you have 2 belts, but I've got 3.
Mm.
But you've got more fights under your streak, and you haven't lost, but I've got 1 loss. Like, who's the champion and who's the better fighter?
That's when it comes to, you have to unify the belts, and that's why it gets really difficult with Deontay. Yeah, it happened with Deontay Wilder and possibly an Anthony Joshua. However, we saw Tyson Fury versus Deontay Wilder. Now Tyson Fury, it can now unify the belts against Anthony Joshua. It just gets really difficult because, you know, some people, you know, sometimes a champion only has 1 belt, whereas the other one has 4. Why would that person risk 4 of their belts to come over to your country to fight you for 1?
Yeah.
Right? It's incredibly risky. Now, some of the boxers out there are like, fuck it, I'll take any fight. But the higher and higher you go, the riskier and riskier it gets. And a lot of your promoters and all the people in your camp are probably going to tell you, yeah, how about don't take that fight? How about fight your, well, here's another problem, mandatory defenses.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes in the contract, they have a mandatory defense, whereas in MMA, don't have that. Israel Adesanya didn't have mandatory defenses. He did defend his title, right? He defended his title twice. But there was nothing stopping him moving up to light heavyweight against Jan Blachowicz, right?
Mm-hmm.
There was nothing in his contract that stopped him, whereas the UFC actually promoted that in boxing. They say, no, in your contract, you have to do mandatory defenses, then you can do that. Mm-hmm. It's very safe business.
That's good, because it kind of shows the transparency within the UFC.
Yeah.
It kind of shows the fluidity of the and allows the freedom for the fighters to, like, switch around. Like, it's the same with John Jones as well. John Jones didn't have to, I don't think there was anything in his contract about vacating the light heavyweight belt. He just did it and went up to heavyweight, and he just looks phenomenal, by the way. I just keep watching all these training videos of John. He's
always been a strong motherfucker, to be honest. Whenever he was, like, even when he had really skinny chicken legs, he was still deadlifting 500 pounds. And he's a strong guy, and a lot of his siblings are all very versed athletes. So you can expect him to be very, very strong and very athletic, which you can see in the octagon. But I can expect a lot more power and strength translating over. I still think he'll have speed on him. It's not like he was a big light heavyweight. Yeah. He really wasn't.
Yeah.
He had quite thin limbs and
ridiculously small calves, but he was extremely long-limbed. That was always his advantage. It's because of his wingspan. And he's a tall guy. He's 6'3".
6'3", 6'4", yeah. I think.
His wingspan's bigger than his entire body.
Mm.
He's got that, so that's how big he was. So he was always good at distance. Well, he likes cheeky eye poke here and there.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah. But when you have such a long frame like that with such long limbs, it can be quite deceiving how much muscle they do put on because they're not short in stature. Like a lot of the people, some people in the light heavyweight division are quite short in stature, but they're big boys. Whereas John Jones can quite easily move up to heavyweight, yeah, put on a little bit of muscle. He says he was going to take about 6 months. It's probably going to take a little bit longer than that.
Yeah, it has to, because when you're actually a tall person, it takes longer to put on muscle.
Definitely.
Because you've got a longer range of motion, and that also expends more energy. So the thing is, a lot of very good power lifters out there, a lot of them actually quite short guys.
Most of the time, very short weight lifters are the best ones in the Olympics,
etc. Because there's less weight for the bar to travel.
Yes.
So, and then there's more weight for the bar to travel. So there's more distance for the bar to travel and the more energy it requires. So someone who, let's say, for example, we're different heights, right? If I was a couple of inches taller and we picked up the exact same weight, it would require more energy for me to pick up that bar because of the distance it has to travel.
It also gets funny with how muscles are attached as well, because it also affects the length of a bone, like the length of your femur bone will also affect the attachments of where your muscle is and how short and long those attachments are.
Yeah.
I want to talk about, on Submission Rodeo, I believe it was 2 weeks ago, Dan Hooker went on Submission Rodeo and he alluded to the fact that he had a fight booked with a mystery opponent, and he wasn't allowed to say, and he was like, sorry, boys, I can't tell you. Now it's been told that it's going to be Michael Chandler. Michael Chandler coming from Bellator, former champion, is now coming over to the UFC lightweight division. I expect really good things from Michael Chandler.
Yeah,
he's much shorter than Dan Hooker. Dan Hooker's around 6'2", I think, and Michael Chandler's around 5'10". I think he's shorter than that. I think he's 5'8", 5'9".
Yeah. Well, it's a big advantage for Hooker because Hooker's massive for a lightweight.
Yeah. Yeah, he definitely is. And he's definitely big for a lightweight. And I don't know how he really makes that cut. He always looks like a welterweight on fight night. But I can't wait for that fight. It really shows. I mean, Dan Hooker's no slouch. And he's certainly not a journeyman. He's not a gatekeeper. So that being said, Michael Chandler, if he can hold his own against Dan Hooker and get the victory, it shows he is of the same caliber as the UFC.
It shows that, yes, and it also shows the proof that, we talked about this in the last podcast, UFC don't like to fuck around when it comes to fights from, people from other divisions coming into the UFC. Like, look, if you say you're the best, all right, we're going to give you one of our best, and then we'll just want to see you get annihilated. So kind of how I see it is everybody in Bellator is kind of just hoping to prove that they're not a laughing stock. They're actually legit, and they got some legit killers coming out of Bellator. And I hope that Michael Chandler comes, and he's just non-stop been talked about, non-stop been hyped up. He just went to Abu, and he's very, very professional as well. He went to Abu Dhabi on the Gaethje versus Khabib card, made weight, was ready to go, but, it's just shows his class. And I feel like to him, the biggest thing for him to prove is just that he's no pushover. He's going to be in the UFC and he's here to stay. But it's not going to be easy.
No, and a lot of the time, it's not just the UFC though. Like we had Sage Northcutt, who was kind of like the pretty poster boy of the UFC. As soon as he gets taken over to one championship, they throw him a really, really tough fight and he gets smashed by him, right? I always forget his name. What is it?
Cosmo Alexandria.
I always knew Alexandre, but I didn't know what his first name was.
And he's a world kickboxing champion.
Exactly. Multiple time kickboxing champion. Yeah. So,
and he broke and he busted like all these bones in his orbital bone.
Not just his orbital bone, all his facial bones. I believe it was his zygmatic bones as well.
Yeah. I think he needed facial reconstruction.
And then when Ben Askren came over to the UFC, they gave him Robbie Lawler, they gave him Jorge Masvidal, and then they gave him Damian Maia. They gave him some brutal people to fight against, and that's the exact same thing I can see happening with Michael Chandler. I think they're going to continue to give him really hard matchups. We know that Michael Chandler is a brilliant wrestler. He can definitely trade. He loves to get stuck in those striking matches. However, Dan Hooker's got really long limbs, and that makes it a bit easier for him to keep him at a distance and making sure that he doesn't get caught in a takedown. So
I'm quite eager to see how this could go on the ground though, because Michael Chandler, he's like a poof. He's a phenomenal wrestler.
He is, and Dan Hooker isn't. We don't get to see as much of his ground game. Certainly none of those city kickboxing boys. A lot of them are predominantly kickboxers, very good and very versed and well versed in the stand up game. But we don't really get to see their ground game. Doesn't mean that they have no jiu-jitsu and it's crap jiu-jitsu. I'm sure they're very good, but we just don't get to see it because the talents in their kickboxing skills outweighs them needing to go on the ground. Like someone who can't really trade as well, they stick to the wrestling, take them down. That's their advantage. Michael Chandler can do both. Mm-hmm. So definitely an interesting matchup. I know we brought up Dan Hooker. His city kickboxing teammate, Israel Adesanya, has been confirmed to fight Jan Błachowicz. UFC 257, I believe that's going to be around March or April. Yeah. That's going to be really good. I'm very excited for that matchup.
Polish power, you know. He's been in the game for a long time. He's been fighting for a long time now. Finally, his champion, his first opponent is a guy who's coming up from middleweight to, again, like going from middleweight to light heavyweight. I reckon the cut wouldn't really be that bad again for...
He doesn't have to cut.
No, so I reckon the build won't be too hard for Adesanya. You know, everyone's always like making jokes. Oh, he's so skinny. Oh, he's so skinny. I don't think... I reckon when he comes in, I reckon he's going to give him a little bit... I reckon it's going to be... He's got something to show. However, one thing it's looking for is you sort of got like, what's the best way? You've got a guy at Jan Błachowicz, he's got a highlight reel of knockouts. So you guys got mad power, Polish power. But the thing is, again, Adesanya doesn't really give a fuck about power. He showed that against Paulo Costa. So the last thing I want to see is just Adesanya. I love Adesanya and all that, but I want to see this a repeat of him against Paulo Costa. I want to see like Jan Błachowicz again, give him a little bit of a test. You know, I can't really see this fight going to a straight away into a knockout, but I can see it sort of going the distance.
Yeah.
I didn't expect that from Adesanya. You know what I mean? Because there's still a lot of fighters in the middle. Well, we sort of cleared out the middleweight division.
It's not as interesting as it was before because he's gone through quite a few people. Uh-huh. You know, it's starting to get a little bit more interesting because now we're starting to see Marvin Vettori, Derek Brunson. We've got Robert Whittaker waiting.
Kevin Holland.
Kevin Holland for sure. We've got a lot of up-and-coming people in middleweight. I mean, the one with the most contention for the title is Robert Whittaker, and he should just wait there because there is a rumor that perhaps he's going to be fighting Paulo Costa. However, I don't really see the point. Robert has been number one two fights ago, and he's won those two fights against Darren Till, and his last fight was against Uriah Hall.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so... No, not Uriah Hall, Jared Cannonier. Sorry, Uriah. You just had a fight against Anderson Silva. So, there's another one, Uriah Hall. So, it's definitely an interesting division right now. However, I don't see anything huge for Izzy to come down to middleweight for in a while. They should make it a very clear contender, number one contender, and then Izzy can come down again. But, I mean, who wouldn't want to be a double champ? Who wouldn't want to be a double champ? Like, the good thing about double champ is there's not a huge amount of risk, right? Yeah. If he gets beaten by Jan Błachowicz, Jan doesn't get the middleweight title.
Yeah.
That's Izzy. Izzy is the middleweight champion still. It doesn't matter. He can still go back and dominate the middleweight division. But it's very interesting for him because if you start getting that double champ status... That's huge.
Yeah.
That's huge. And that's actually really cementing your name in the sport, which is what kind of Izzy already has done.
Double the champ, double the pressure, because now you have not just one weight class of opponents to stay on top of, you've got two weight classes of opponents to stay on top of. And the light heavyweights, they're no fucking joke, man. No. There's still a lot of killers in that light heavyweight. Like, can you imagine if we had, who's below Dominic Reyes or like a Glover Teixeira or
Rakic.
Yeah, oh my God. And then he's got to deal with all those people in light heavyweight, and then we have all these up-and-coming middleweights. Like, again, it's the higher the pressure, but the higher the glory is for Adesanya, really, if he wins. though.
I don't feel like there's that much pressure on his back right now.
No.
If he goes there, beats Jan, which is not an easy task, then he gets that double champ status, and it's a really big feather in his cap and definitely starts to set up that John Jones fight for sure. Now, John said he does not... He recently said, I think it was yesterday, he said, I'm telling you right now, I'm not going back to light heavyweight. I'm not going back to light heavyweight. Some people were saying is he was running away. He made some fun today. He said, look, I'm not running away from no one. Mm-hmm. Okay? That's pretty stupid. Which is. He is very stupid. He should move to... He's moving to heavyweight, right? He looks phenomenal, especially in the gym. Hopefully, a lot of that power transfers into his fights. And we're going to start to see a little bit more, you know, finishes from John Jones. Because recently, it's been decisions.
Yeah. That's kind of what I was hoping as well. It's just that the number one of the biggest fights that everyone was kind of hoping for, wishing for in 2021 was John Jones versus Israel Adesanya, because the amount of beef those guys have been talking for years. They were talking shit against each other when we were back in university, early days of university. You know what I mean? So it's kind of been brewing for quite some time, but... there's no chance, and if John Jones is not going down to light heavyweight, then I don't see the chance. I see an even less likely chance of Israel Adesanya even moving up to heavyweight. That's an even bigger jump. Like, what's the weight difference between light heavyweight and heavyweight?
Heavyweight is 265, and light heavyweight is 205. So there's a 60-pound difference.
Yeah, and then...
It's huge jump.
And now even have that from middleweight. To get... The likely chance of that happening is very slim. But if Israel Adesanya was to completely commit himself... Pardon me. Apologies.
Stop burping, dude. What the fuck? What did you have?
I don't know. I had that meal. I've had a bit of water and all that sort of stuff. You know, I haven't eaten really that much today. Been training... Speaking of weight, by the way, I'm the lightest I've ever been right now.
Really?
76 kilos.
That's very light.
Normally, I walk around on like a 79 to 80.
Mm.
I hopped on the scales this morning and I was like 76 on the dot. And I was like, what the fuck, man? Because lately, I've been eating a lot, really. I mean, I had a few drinks on New Year's Eve and been training a fair bit, but not a whole lot. And I'm just like, I was absolutely stunned.
You must be in a mad deficit right now.
Mm-hmm.
Or did you cut out a lot of carbs after you had alcohol?
No, I mean, I've just been doing a lot, really, because I've been, jumping around like a lunatic on New Year's Eve, rehearsing, training heaps. I've only seen a few clients, holding a lot more pants, still a little bit more jiu-jitsu. So, when you do jiu-jitsu, man, I think it's like being, at the end of it, you're like in a sauna, man.
It's a different kind of cardio on the ground. You know, you think you're really fit doing stand-up and kickboxing, and then you get on the ground and you start just doing normal rolling on the ground, normal jiu-jitsu sparring. You would be surprised how sweaty you get, because it's not just one person's heat, it's another person on top of you or underneath you.
Yeah.
And a lot of the time in jiu-jitsu, you've got to leave no space in between you and your opponent. You've got to make sure that your weight is very settled on top of them, which means there is no gap of air where they can sneakily get a forearm in or a knee and where they can post up and make space. You're so close to them, it gets so sweaty, and the amount of cardio you need on the ground for grappling is insane. You think you're really fit doing kickboxing? Yeah. Try doing that on the ground.
Yeah.
You're going to expend your gas tank so quickly. It's a different kind of animal. It's not like your cardio on the stand-up doesn't transfer over to jiu-jitsu. Of course it will, but it's a different kind of cardio.
Yeah.
It's a different type of challenge for you, a different type of stressor.
Yeah. You need a good, at least to drink a whole liter and a half of water before you even step onto that mat, so you don't make sure you dehydrate yourself completely. Because even just wearing a gear in general, and then sometimes I like to put my rash guard underneath because I'm getting sick of... One thing I realized as well, did you ever get this when you did taekwondo, the day after, your skin is, really, really itchy?
Not itchy, but it might be quite sore. It depends.
Yeah.
It depends.
Because one thing I get whenever I do jiu-jitsu the next day, if I don't properly wash myself with soap, my skin gets so itchy. And it's hard to, like, coach a class or a client if you've got to scratch your legs and scratch your arms every 5 seconds. And
I mean, you definitely, after jiu-jitsu, you need to probably bathe in a lot of soap because a lot of those stinky blokes are not scrubbing themselves at all. Yeah, you need to make sure you're... Yeah. You can get all kinds of stuff from grappling people and that.
Well, yeah. Well, one thing that's the most important thing for me is the best with the, some of the people that I roll with. I have such a strong sense of smell because, you know, my hearing's fuck all, my eyesight's fuck all. So I have a strong sense of taste and a strong sense of smell. And I can't roll with some people because they just smell so bad. And I have to stop halfway through and say, man, I know you're a good guy, but you fucking stink.
Did you actually tell them that they stink?
I tell them they stink and I'm sorry, but I'm going to vomit if I actually can't. I just can't breathe because you smell so bad. And there's some guys, which I go up to, and they smell like they look after their gear. They put fabric softener and all that shit and they put deodorant on and all that. And now I'm just like, okay, yeah, let's go.
I mean, I had that when I was doing, like, jiu-jitsu, and a lot of... It's not really the younger guys. The younger guys don't really smell, right? Yeah. It's the older guys. They don't give a shit. They've got the hairiest chest that has, like, the most sweat and dirt, and they most likely they're a tradie or something like that. They've already worked. All they did was they worked all day on a building site. They chucked their gi on. And they come and train, and then most likely...
They smell like cigarettes.
Not cigarettes. They just smell like BO. It smells so bad.
Yeah.
You got to make sure that you, if they're on top, you make sure that you flip them over. You make sure that you're not underneath, because that stinks.
Yeah. They put you in a guillotine, not sure what they're going to do. You're going to tap out to body odor, or you're going to tap out to a choke. God. Yeah, I don't know.
Speaking of tapping out, Ben Askren versus Jake Paul. Thoughts? Oh. Thoughts on that, my friend?
Can we fucking shut up about Jake Paul for a second?
He's constantly, and it's almost like all the boxing news outlets are just posting stuff about Jake Paul just because it sells, and it's a nice little positive feedback loop.
Yeah, him versus Ben Askren. I mean, he can beat him. He can beat Ben Askren, because I was watching videos of Ben Askren's striking. It's
terrible.
It's not that great. For someone who's at such a high caliber level, his striking was not that great, especially when I watched him against Damian Maia. I watched that fight yesterday as well.
I thought his striking had improved since the Robbie Lawler fight.
Okay.
I thought it had improved, but by the time he was actually trying to strike with Damien, he was so tired. And he was just threw this weird spinning back fist that just missed him by a mile. And MMA striking and boxing striking is a different kind of thing. It's a different form of technique and different type of pace. But Ben Askren found the striking game a little bit late. Yeah. You know, a lot of the time he was, you know, wrestling.
He was a phenomenal wrestler.
Phenomenal wrestler. Then goes over to different promotions and never really had to rely on his striking. He did do a little bit, but most of the time he ate punches until he could take them down, and then he dominated them from there.
Mm-hmm.
So now that he's most likely around 40 years old now.
Yeah, and he's going to fight the young Jake Paul. I mean, he's up and coming. We can give respect. He's got a little bit of fighting now under his belt. He can sort of box. It's just, I don't... kind of feel like it's kind of...
Let's be real.
It's such a strange matchup, you know what I mean? I just can't see it happening.
Let's be real. If Jake Paul loses to Ben Askren, though, he's gone.
Yeah.
Because Jake Paul had been messaging Conor McGregor, Dylan Danis, who else? Michael Bisping and Ben Askren, right?
Mm-hmm.
Michael Bisping and Ben Askren said, yeah, let's do it. Ben Askren publicly called him, did a little video and said, Jake, you're a coward. Yeah. You're a coward. I'll beat you up. And he said he accepted. Jake Paul, silent.
Yeah, it was the same with Yoel Romero.
But Yoel Romero would just like sit on him. But Ben Askren, the reason why I think Jake Paul hasn't taken the Ben Askren fight is if Ben Askren beats him, Jake's fucked.
Yeah.
He has no climb. He can't even climb up to Dylan Danis, who stand up,
yeah,
you know, isn't spectacular either.
Yeah.
It's not bad, but he can't even level up from Dylan Danis to Conor McGregor. It doesn't go anywhere, right?
Yeah.
So if he loses to Ben Askren, he's the laughing stock. He's like 23, 24. If he loses to like a 40-year-old Ben Askren,
yeah,
it's bad.
It would be bad. It would be the biggest comeback ever in MMA history. Because remember that time when everyone was hating on Ben Askren when he came to the UFC?
Dana hated him.
Yeah, Dana hated him. And everyone wanted Robbie Lawler to smash... No. Everyone wanted Robbie Lawler to smash him. And then everyone was like, everyone wanted Masvidal to smash him, and he did. And then Masvidal just went to stardom. And then everything that came before for Ben Askren just fell flat on its ass. And then he got choked out by Damian Maia, and that was it. He left the UFC, and everyone was like, oh, well, see you, mate. What a joke. We don't need you anymore. If he beats Jake Paul, everyone's literally going to welcome Ben Askren back with open arms. He's like going to be the second coming of Jesus.
I mean, if he beats Jake Paul, people would start to like Ben Askren again.
Yeah.
I would pay to watch Ben Askren versus Jake Paul in MMA.
Yes, that's the thing.
But not boxing.
So it comes down to who's willing to cross over to the other, because Jake Paul's got a history of wrestling. You know, Ben Askren's the father, well, not the father, but he's one of the top tier wrestlers.
Yeah.
And he's been doing it for so long. Multiple titles under his belt, but Jake Paul's been doing it for a while. So it can cross over. So if Jake Paul keeps the game standing, he could win. You know, he could better his striking. But if Ben Askren takes him to the ground, then he's in trouble. So, again, it depends on where it goes. I mean, if Ben Askren gets that double leg, it's all over.
So one thing I wanted to bring up was, it got confirmed today, it was Jimmy Crute versus Johnny Walker. Now, Johnny Walker's now moved camps. He's now fighting out of SBG Ireland, under John Kavanagh. And we've got Jimmy Crute, 24-year-old Australian, doing very, very well. He's on a two-fight win streak. Those last two fights all finished in the first round.
Great guy as well. He went and just sat down with his last opponent after he beat him, put his arm around him and says, it's all good, man. We'll go again. We'll go again. Fucking phenomenal guy. I mean, nothing I love more than just a humble fighter.
I really do enjoy seeing a lot of mutual respect. And it's cool that, I mean, you got 24-year-old Jimmy Crute and 28-year-old Johnny Walker. 24-year-old Jimmy Crute and 28-year-old Johnny Walker.
And he's a light heavyweight too for 24.
Exactly. He's a big boy. So they're getting two of the coming up rising light heavyweight stars, yeah, and putting them against each other.
Well, the problem is with Johnny Walker is he was a hype train, but he got derailed by Corey Anderson. And then, you know, we got... And he tried to come back, and he's lost a couple of his recent fights as well. So, again, it kind of puts Johnny Walker in a rough position because he's got to really prove himself. But also, at the same time, you know, we got Jimmy Crute because we're biased, because we're, you know, we love Australians. We always want Australians to win. So, and he's a smashing machine up and coming. So, it's you kind of like both, really.
I honestly like both. Yeah. I do believe Jimmy Crute will get it done, though.
Yeah.
Johnny Walker, I think he's very talented, definitely physically very athletic. For some reason, I do believe Jimmy's youth will definitely play a really big factor in this fight.
Mm-hmm.
I think Johnny has done the right thing moving camps to SBG Ireland. I think he's doing the right things. He's on a one-fight win streak now. I just think that Jimmy Crute is better.
Mm-hmm.
I really do. I think Jimmy Crute is better.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Another big fight we got coming up is also Max Holloway versus Calvin Kattar.
Which is the closest UFC...
It's
been weird because the last UFC fight was a week ago, and we have to wait another 2 weeks until the UFC comes back to us. I don't like it.
Yeah, but then we got like... the space of 11 days of some three of the biggest fights ever.
Well, yeah, Max Holloway versus Calvin Kattar.
But Khamzat Chimaev isn't official anymore, is it?
That's been cancelled. And then we've got Conor McGregor versus...
Poirier.
Poirier.
Yeah.
Which apparently is going to be co-main evented by Michael Chandler versus Dan Hooker. So we have some belts of fights up. I just don't like waiting. I'm a very impatient person. I don't like it. Yeah, but I'm very keen to see Max Holloway versus Calvin Kattar. What are your thoughts?
Max Holloway wants to get his belt back. There's no for sure of that. By the way, UFC channel has been putting out some killer content lately. Killer content. And they had, John Atkin and Michael Bisping and Daniel Cormier and Matt Serra all get together and review 2020 and 1A.
It was about 45 minutes long. It was a good show.
Oh, it was great. I loved it. I mean, not even that, but some of the other stuff they've been putting out lately. And they talked about what was the biggest upset, and everyone was, one of them, which they talked about, was the Max Holloway versus Alexander Volkanovski fight. They said it was a, they thought it was a, no, it wasn't upset, it was a robbery. They thought it was one of the biggest robberies because, you know, there was, we can agree, regardless of what you think, it was a razor-thin fight.
And I honestly think that was one of the closest fights
ever
I've watched.
Yeah. I thought I would have been satisfied with a draw.
I think there is a place for, I think there's a place for 10-10 rounds and there's a place for draws.
Yeah.
And I believe that would have been satisfactory, calling it a draw.
Mm-hmm.
Go for the treble, go for the trilogy, and that would have been brilliant to watch. Mm-hmm. You know, Alexander Volkanovski versus Max Holloway 3, I think that's going to happen one day.
Yeah. I honestly do. And I feel like, but though Calvin Kattar is a phenomenal fighter and he's what's standing in his way. So what Max needs to do, he needs to resurge himself. He needs to beat Calvin. But if Calvin wants to make it to the title, he's got to take out the veteran. The dude's not even 30 yet and he's fought some of the biggest names in the UFC. Volkanovski, he's fought McGregor. He's fought Aldo twice, beat him twice. You know what I mean?
Fought Dustin.
Dustin. He's not even 30 yet. He's not even in his prime. And he still keeps beating some of the biggest names. He's got records for most strikes thrown in a single fight, which was against Ortega.
I believe Holloway came into the UFC around 21, 22 years old. And I do believe his debut was against Conor McGregor because that fight was supposed to be a different opponent. However, Max Holloway got slid in because that other opponent fell out.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's definitely one of the OGs in the featherweight division. He's definitely in the conversation of either number one, number two, or number three top featherweight fighters ever in the UFC.
Yeah.
So it's difficult. I expect this to be a real grudge match. I think this is going to be a five-round war, and it's just whoever wants it more. I think Calvin Kattar is definitely underrated. He's got one of the best boxers, certainly in the featherweight division. Max Holloway is looking better and better. Turned a new leaf against Volkanovski for the second time because that first match wasn't. It was not comparable to the first match. No. I don't know who I take in that. It's very difficult. I don't know who I take in that. I think.
Yeah. Do you
want? It's too hard.
Do you want to know something interesting?
What?
Max Holloway for the second fight didn't do any sparring.
He couldn't.
Yeah, he just did all over Zoom. Did a lot of training over Zoom.
That's what he said.
Yeah.
That's what he said.
Yeah. Do you agree?
I think he probably did minimal sparring, but I don't think he did zero.
One other thing I thought was interesting was when he did the podcast with Joe Rogan, he was saying, oh, yeah, he actually learned some fighting moves from a UFC game.
He's just a funny guy. Max Holloway is beloved by everyone, to be honest.
Yeah, and he's just on his way back. But the thing is, even if he... What's the best way I can say? I still feel like Max Holloway's best is yet to come.
I think so, just because he's so young yet so experienced in one of the greatest organizations in MMA.
Yeah.
So.
He's blessed. That's what I can say.
Yeah.
He really is blessed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, Jack, you did a interview yesterday with UFC fighter David Zawanda. Tell me about that, man.
It was really fun.
Yeah.
I mean, that's been two UFC fighters in the last week that I've interviewed. The first was Mike Jackson. Unfortunately, he pulled out of his fight against Dean Barry.
We still don't know why, do we?
Undisclosed reason. It's most likely just because it's going to be maybe travel restrictions. Maybe there's restrictions on training at the gym. I have no idea. But it's going to be moved to around March or April. The fight's not cancelled. It's just been postponed. So that's really cool. Yeah, I had David Sagat Zawada on yesterday, and that was so fun. You know, he set up to fight Ramazan Ameev, who's a tough Russian fighter. He's a ex-Sambo champion. And he's expected to be a very durable, tough fighter. He's most likely going for the takedown right off the bat, but I really do think David's going to take it away. David's last fight was Abubakar Nurmagomedov, who was Habib's cousin, mm-hmm. and he submitted him in the first round due to a really good triangle choke. It was very, very, very quick. I think David is going to be ready for the jiu-jitsu game if he does get taken down. And David's a cool dude. When I talked to him, he was just a really nice guy. He was very... We had a little bit of audio issues in the middle, but I've fixed them up and they're going to be fine when in post-production. But he was so cool and so reasonable. And right off the bat, he was asking, oh, Happy New Year. Did you have a good New Year? And he's a very well-spoken German guy. He's in Dusseldorf. And I believe his gym, UFD gym, is very underrated. They're starting to bring a lot of really big fighters out. And David just comes from a fighting family because his older brother is a professional fighter in KSW, which is I believe it's a Russian promotion. Mm. And his older brother is a very good fighter as well. So I expect him to win, and I was really, really honored to talk to him because it's not every day you get to talk to a UFC fighter, although it's starting to become a more regular occurrence, which is good.
We're trying to branch out.
Exactly, but I'm super excited to talk to him again and talk to other UFC fighters because I already knew this anyway coming from a fighting background. A lot of the scary motherfuckers are actually some of the nicest.
Yeah. See, that's the thing. I got to talk about some fighters who I know or some people who just train a lot. Some of those people are just some of the nicest and most humble people you ever meet because they've just been through all those kicks, they've been through all those punches, they've been through those knockouts, they've been through those submissions and taps. They're very... What's the opposite of egocentric? They're very free of ego.
They're free of ego.
They're very free of ego.
They're humble. Calm, and polite people most of the time.
Yeah.
Unless you talk some shit, then that ego probably flicks on. But I think as martial artists, it's a very common thing with martial artists. You're taught right away that there's a on switch and an off switch. Yeah. You turn it on, you turn it off. And these fighters are the best at it. They're best at turning it off, relaxing, being calm. They're very tame, and then when they need to be an animal, they flick it on, and they're an animal. Okay. So, I mean, David's an animal, and he's a really good fighter, and I can't wait for him to fight. He's going to be on the undercard. There's Max Holloway is the main event, the co-main event, and then the welterweight fight will be David Zawada versus Ramazan Ameev. So that's going to be a belter of a fight. I can't wait to watch that.
Mm-hmm. Now, let me ask you, Jack, right now. Well, let's do this thing on the podcast. What is the number one fight you want to see happen in 2021? Do you want me to go first?
No, I'm going to go first. Yeah. Israel Adesanya versus John Jones. I have to see it.
Yeah. But what do you think the likely chances are of that happening?
Not that likely. That's why I want
it. That's the thing. Everyone wants to see. A lot of people want to see. Agree with you, man. A lot of people want to see it happen, but
a lot of people want to see Conor McGregor versus Habib. That would have been my second or third. But I don't know if that's ever going to happen. But John Jones versus Israel Adesanya, huge payday. They both hate each other to death. Sometimes you can bet on negativity because negativity sells, especially for a fighter. So
you know what we could do to make it even more interesting. Set the ring around the octagon on fire. Like a death match. Like
a ring of fire.
The ring of fire. That'd be something really interesting. That would sell.
Well, what was the one you're interested in?
The one I want to see the most. You ready? Colby Covington versus Jorge Masvidal.
Oh, that's a good one.
The amount of shit talk. I love my humble fighters, but I love my shit talkers. I love listening to press conferences.
That would be really good. Just like John Jones versus Israel Adesanya, but it gets rough when there's no crowd. There's no crowd for... You know what they could do? As long as they have about 25%.
Yeah.
As long as they have 25% in there, that would be cool. Just for them to come to the weigh-ins and the pre-fight conference. That would be sick because Colby coming to this Jorge would be ridiculous.
Just give it to Perth, for Christ's sakes.
I know, they need
to. It's been 200 days since there's a community transition.
Well, Australia or New Zealand, take them there. Take it. Right?
put it in Opta Stadium. Put Last Set in Front Row podcast, and we'll film ourselves doing a reaction with just between the two.
That would be so fun. But I really want to see that. It just gets rough when there's issues with you know, occupancy for the fans in the stadiums. That would be such a good fight.
But it would sell out. It would literally sell out.
It would. And when I was listening to Colby commenting on, I believe it was Submission Radio, Colby just went, you know, he's fucking dodging me. He's dodging me. He's going to maybe go with Stephen Thompson instead of me. And now, like, now he's dodging me again. He was really trying to rile up Jorge to fight him. He said, look, I know all your secrets. I know all your little dirty little skeletons in your closet.
Those guys were like thicker than thieves at one point.
They were best friends.
They both fell out of America's top team, didn't they?
Yeah. But now that no longer that's happening, you know, ATT is now just Jorge's home, and Colby Covington has his own thing. Is Colby Covington Productions or something like that. So, that's definitely a fight I'd be interested in, but I think Israel Adesanya versus Colby... Israel Adesanya versus John Jones would be incredible. Mm-hmm. Absolutely fantastic.
Is there anything else you want to see in 2021?
I would like to see fans again. I would really like to see fans. It's a different kind of atmosphere, and it's definitely a different kind of atmosphere for fighters. You know, fighters don't have the normal crazy fans going off and reacting to all the shots and that. I think they should just don't even be bothered. I know Dana was very bothered because he was like, if we can't have 100 people in there, like the 100% of all the fans in there, I don't want to do it. I don't want to do 25%. I don't want to do 50. I don't want to do 60. I have to have 100 people filling the stadium. I have to disagree. It's a different kind of atmosphere. You know, prize fighters need to have a crowd. And I think that's why some fighters like Tony Ferguson need a crowd to pull energy off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I really think that's a huge deal. I want fans back in there.
Yeah.
No matter how few, even if it's 20, 25%, 30 or 50, you know, that would be incredible. I want to see that.
Mm. Yeah. I agree. One other thing I wanted to see this in 2021 is just a little bit more rise to the women's divisions.
Yeah, definitely.
Because I looked at the pay-per-view buys for last year, and the lowest pay-per-view buying was apparently Amanda Nunes versus Felicia Spencer.
That's because Amanda Nunes is so dominant.
Yeah.
The same thing can be said for Valentina Shevchenko. A lot of people, when they see a fighter that's so dominant, It's difficult to expect a really good war or for them to be in any type of real strife. When they're that dominant, when they look that invincible, it gets really difficult, especially when it comes to the female fighters like Amanda Nunes and Valentina Shevchenko. You're right.
Yeah, sorry. Working's buzzing off. Who was saying? Yeah. One thing that could be really nice for the women's division, I reckon we'll get a lot of pay-per-view buys, if we just have the trilogy between Valentina Shevchenko and Amanda Nunes, because I feel like potentially Amanda Nunes could be heading towards retirement, because she's just too good. There's no one left for her to beat. I think she's the most dominant women champion. She's all-time female GOAT. Keep burping.
Sorry, everyone. He keeps burping on the... I mean,
passing wind.
Yeah, passing wind on
passing all out all the bullshit from 2020.
Exactly. the one I reckon would be the most advantageous for pay-per-view buys would be Zhang Weili versus Rose Namajunas. Mm-hmm. Now, it's been said by Dana that Rose doesn't want to fight or something or anything like that, but apparently Rose's grandfather died, and that's why she was very upset and didn't want to fight at the time. Now, I really want that fight to be set up in 2021. Zhang Weili looked incredible against Joanna Jędrzejczyk, and she hasn't fought since then. So I believe that was early 2020. So I want to see her fight Rose because, you know, Rose used to have that belt, and she was a phenomenal champion as well. So champion versus former champion, I'd love to see that in 2021. Zhang Weili versus Rose Namajunas. I don't always get super excited for the female fights, but I mean, Zhang Weili and Rose Namajunas are brilliant fighters. You can't not watch their fights. So very excited to see that. Now, you wanted to talk about something about COVID. What?
COVID strikes again. Apparently there's a new strain of coronavirus that's even more deadlier than another one.
Different areas in the world.
Yeah,
in Australia, we have our own strain.
Yeah, and then apparently this new strain has come out of South Africa, and it's 100 times, and it's a lot more deadlier than the first original strand. And I'm like, oh my God, this coronavirus thing just, I don't know, it just feels like it's distant. I feel like 2020, I know it's a strange thing to say, but I feel like this coronavirus won't at least go away or won't be fully almost eradicated for at least another 6 months.
Oh, not 6 months, around 2 years, I think.
They reckon 2 years.
Two years. It'll, just like any virus, is going to keep differentiating in different nations, especially when you don't have borders.
Yeah.
And it's going to continue to evolve and differentiate until it's its own separate strain of, its own viral load. We already knew that last year that India had its own strain of coronavirus, and now that everyone's all shut off, all the borders are shut off, you know, those viruses continue to plague people in separate countries and they start to evolve and become new strains of viruses. Yeah. With their own, you know, and their own characteristics, which means that some of them are going to be less deadly and some of them are going to be more deadly.
Correct.
So yeah, it is a shame.
Because right now, like, it's sitting at 1.84 million deaths.
Yeah.
Here's the thing, though. I don't think we'll ever, to full extent, understand how many people actually died from this coronavirus. I don't think we'll ever understand even how many people even got it as well.
No, because a lot of the time you can have COVID without knowing and you can be asymptomatic. Like, if you were to be, and a lot of doctors were actually saying, look, if someone has pneumonia and dies of a pneumonia, but they happen to have COVID,
yeah. We
mark it as a COVID death.
Yeah.
Now, if you have COVID, you're asymptomatic, you walk down the street and you get knocked down by a car and you die, are you going to be written down as a COVID death,
yeah,
or
correct.
A death by getting hit by a vehicle?
Yeah.
Who knows? Because it all gets very weird then, because I think that affects funding for hospitals when you record COVID deaths.
Yeah.
It gets difficult.
Yeah. So one thing that I believe is just hopefully the vaccine, it becomes more developed. You know, mm-hmm. It is as good as it says it is. And, you know, hopefully people, there's not too much debate over it. But who knows, 2021... 2021, but
yeah, it did win.
But
hopefully 2021 doesn't win.
Yeah.
Happy New Year, everyone. I hope you had a satisfactory 2020. It's going to be a lot better in 2021. I feel like a lot of things are going to change and get slowly better. Yeah, I hope everyone's been having a good Happy New Year and a good start.
Let me finish off by saying 2020, what the fuck was that?
Yeah, 2020 sucked, but 2021 is going to be a lot better. So
all right.
Thank you for listening, guys.
All the best, guys.
Catch
Take
up.
Care.
Bye-bye.